The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Tuesday edition. Still a two-for edition, Dom. Two of us.
Two for Tuesday.
Dom and Kroot. And Rich. And you, of course. 844-967-2789. Dom, I'm going to be a little sad when the first Trump trial wraps up. Might be the only one we get to narrate between here and the election.
Nah.
It's coming to a close. All the good times.
Coming to a close? To my understanding, the former president has yet to testify. How could possibly be coming to a close?
Well, sadly, Dom, the defense has rested and Trump is not testifying.
Huh. Weird.
Chicken Colonel Sanders.
Didn't he say he was going to testify? Didn't he say that? I'm pretty sure he said that.
Said that more than once. I was assured. I had many assurances. He was going to testify, Dom. Savannah Jacobs, Devlin Barrett, Tom Jackman, and Mark Berman at the Washington Post. I find this to be a comprehensive article, Dom. Kind of covers all the day's proceedings. The Robert Costello testimony, that was the guy who got everybody thrown out of court yesterday so the judge could give him a personal chastisement.
You eyeballing me, boy?
No side eye. Dateline New York, Donald Trump's defense team rested its case Tuesday without calling him to testify.
Wah, wah.
Before an afternoon hearing where his attorneys and prosecutors debated the legal instructions the judge will deliver to a jury assigned to issue judgment in the first criminal trial of the former U.S. president.
Now, first, hopefully not the last.
What's that mean?
Well, he's got three more on the horizon.
Okay. That makes sense. I thought you were hoping for further prosecutions of future presidents, Tom. For a moment I was confused.
Well, if future presidents, Republican, independents, or whatever, Democrats act like this cat, yeah, abso-frickin-lutely. If the evidence is there, they're engaging in criming, they should be prosecuted.
Now, the timelines, Tom, with testimony concluded, so the evidentiary portion of the trial is done, and closing arguments expected next week, not Monday. Monday's a holiday.
Tuesday.
The case will soon be placed in the hands of jurors who have spent the last 5 weeks listening to testimony and scrutinizing evidence related to the 2016 hush money payment Trump's former attorney said he paid Stormy Daniels, an adult film actress, to help to keep her from publicly alleging that she and Trump had a sexual encounter. Barely. Since the trial began, jurors have piled into Manhattan's criminal courthouse and listened to sometimes sordid testimony about topics including tabloid catch-and-kill tactics for buying stories and not publishing them, celebrity sex tapes, and Trump's panic with the Access Hollywood recording in which he bragged about grabbing women's genitals was publicized in October of 2016. They also heard sometimes, let's call it darker testimony, including Daniel's depiction of what sounded at times like non-consensual sex with Trump. All the while, Trump sat nearby at the defense table with rotating coterie of political allies and acolytes often flocking into the courtroom behind him. And once prosecutors and defense attorneys have made their closing arguments in the case, which are set for May 28th after the Memorial Day holiday, the judge will charge the jury. When that happens, it's like, attaches the batteries, charges them up, Dom. When that happens, jurors will hear about the complex legal roadmap meant to guide them to a verdict, and then the jury will begin deliberations and have to make a decision that could ripple through American politics with Trump, who also faces three other indictments. That's what Dom was talking about. Barreling towards a November rematch with President Biden in the general election. And the jury's decision could have far-reaching consequences for American politics and law. Dom, the judge's charge to the jury is an important but often deathly dull part of any trial. We won't talk about that a lot. Like reading furniture assembly instructions written in another language. Juries often struggle with the dense terminology of the judge's charge. It is common during deliberations for panels to ask for specific parts of the charge to be read back to them so they can try to better understand the instructions. I'll let you explain, Dom.
Crudy, during the Tuesday afternoon hearing, known as the charging conference, prosecutors and defense attorneys sparred over what jurors should be told about the federal election law at the heart of the prosecutor's case and debated campaign finance reporting. Though both sides submitted suggested jury instructions or changes in certain wording, New York Supreme Court Judge Juan Merchan said during the hearing that he is not likely to accept changes from New York State's standard jury instructions without good reason. His quote, "Where there are standard pattern instructions, I don't deviate." In this trial, the judge's charge will be more important than most because of the legal framework the prosecutors built towards indicting Trump on 34 felony counts of falsifying business records. Typically, that crime is charged as a misdemeanor, but it can be elevated to a felony if the records were falsified in furtherance of another crime. Prosecutors argued that the other crime in this case was violating state election law 17-152, conspiracy to promote or prevent an election. That law makes it a misdemeanor when two or more people conspire to promote or prevent the election of any person to a public office by unlawful means. Prosecutors have said in court that the unlawful means at issue in Trump's case were a violation of federal campaign law, meaning that the charges against the presumptive GOP presidential nominee are really a three-step process.
It gets a little convoluted, doesn't it?
It can be, certainly. And there's a couple of attorneys on that jury. I'm assuming there's some other smart people there as well. So I'm sure they'll be able to figure it out should they take their job. And I hope they do seriously.
How smart can they be? They all caught jury duty.
Right? Don't worry. The book deals will help Mull out later in life. The Washington Post continues that the key witness against Trump is former lawyer Michael Cohen. That he paid the $130,000. We know all about that. He was reimbursed by Trump the following year in payments disguised as a legal retainer. Those transactions, according to the prosecutors, amount to falsified business records. At the charging conference, you know, watching the paint dry, lawyers debate how best to explain all of this to a jury made up of mostly non-lawyers. The judge's determination of the legal threshold for conviction may have a huge impact on what jurors think of the evidence, assuming they can follow the sometimes Byzantine nature of charging language. A jury's job is to decide the facts, while a judge decides the law. During the trial, those two roles do not mix much, but a charging conference is when the judge prepares to formally turn over the case with a final set of instructions to the jury. The judge seemed poised to rule against prosecutors over what may be a critical issue in deliberations, whether to tell the jury that Trump can be convicted if the panel finds that falsified record entries were, quote, reasonably foreseeable based on his actions. I don't like the reasonably foreseeable language, Merchan said. Prosecutors want the jury to be told that Trump's role in the alleged crimes doesn't need to be explicit that he made or caused the false business records to be made, but defense attorneys push back on that. Trump's 20th day of trial began Tuesday with more testimony from Costello, whose behavior on the witness stand greatly angered Merchan a day earlier. Oh, yeah, it did. Once the questioning of Costello ended in the morning, defense lawyers rested. They did not call Trump to testify in his own defense. I think someone owes me money somewhere around here. A highly risky legal option that never seemed likely, but that Trump teased as a possibility in many of his public diatribes. about the trial. Costello was less confrontational towards the judge on Tuesday. Yeah, I would imagine. But quickly got testy when a prosecutor suggested he was operating on behalf of Rudy Giuliani and Donald Trump when he gave Cohen legal advice in 2018. Prosecutor Susan Hoffinger read out an email in which Costello, writing about Cohen, said, "Perhaps we have been played here. Do you want me to explain it?" Costello asked. "No," the prosecutor replied. When she asked a follow-up question, Costello replied sarcastically, "Oh, now you want me to explain it?" The defense had called Costello as part of their broader effort to paint Cohen, the most critical witness against Trump, as an untrustworthy liar. Prosecutors in turn attacked Costello, the defense witness here, Curdy, suggesting he worked in 2018 as kind of a stalking horse for then-President Trump and Giuliani, a longtime personal friend of Costello's. Prosecutors pointedly asked Costello if he was trying to exact his own kind of revenge against Cohen after their legal discussion soured. "You still have a lot of animosity against Michael Cohen, don't you?" she asked. Costello denied that he did. She then noted that he testified last week to the House of Representatives about Cohen at the time that Cohen was testifying in Trump's trial.
Yeah, that was very sketch.
"It was an effort by you to intimidate Michael Cohen, question mark? Ridiculous. No," Costello answered. Trump's lawyer, Emil Bove, finished up the evidentiary portion of the trial by asking questions aimed at showing that Costello, like most everyone else who dealt with Cohen, found him to be an erratic and unbelievable hothead. "Did you ever pressure Michael Cohen to do anything?" "I did not." "Do you ever have any control over Michael Cohen?" "Completely not," Costello said.
You know, there were a series of texts that he was read, his own texts back and forth, effectively. I think it was pretty damning. This Costello was not a great witness.
Way to wrap it up, defense team. I mean, that was a disaster.
Well, that had to be Trump's guy. They had to want a guy out there to crap a little bit more on Michael Cohen, because there's no other explanation. There's no other good reason to put this guy on, and he already showed himself to be a partisan. He was off at, Jim Jones' hearing on the House as they were looking to attack the trial in real time. Real time. That's what your House Republicans are up to these days.
Yeah, but they're not under gag order, Curdy. You know, it's totally different.
Oh, very, very different.
I find it really, I mean, the way that the Republican MAGA have just, you know, lined up behind him with their creepy red ties and coming out and saying all the same, it's all the same language. They're reading the same script. It's very, very rehearsed and very played.
Don't worry about the creepy red ties. I assure you, they're all wearing the same brown shirt underneath. Yeah. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. And I got a financial update on the Truthy Social. Oh, CJ, I'm telling you, buy now.
The Devil's Advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny.
And we are back to the 420 break. Thank you for listening to Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Love it when you join us on the lines, talk or text. You can do both, 844-967-2789. Trudy usually reads the text.
I've been reading the text. Yeah. I find them informative, Dom. I did mention earlier I had been banned from a few places. Yeah. And someone texted in on the WMDX line. I said, a West Side Madison bar. They texted in La Tigre, and ironically, no, but I was also thrown out of that place. You cannot swear in the La Tigre lounge or whatever.
Oh, it's one called. Of those. Oh, I'd have a really hard time there.
And you said, "Have I ever been banned?" Yes, you have. Dom, at least two Where? Different places. Where? One, the hotel in Waukesha. At no, the bar
we were warned we were not thrown out.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. Yeah, the bartender was very cordial, but they were not down with the F-bombs at the bar.
Yeah, you profane bastard.
Yeah, well, that's how it is, man.
And also, this one's for Scherzies. The Tim Kaine, Vice President Tim Kaine, candidate for Hillary Clinton, Lakefront Brewery in Milwaukee, man. We were banned from the tour. We were the only ones not allowed on it. On.
Hey, Crudy. Now, let's be real here. I never even got in the line, man. That was all you.
You Maybe just pre-assumed you were banned. You knew that you were going to be acceptable any vice presidential entourage.
But you know who took really good care of us that very same day?
Trump.
The Trump campaign up in Green
Strangely,
Bay.
Strangely. That's a from true Milwaukee story.
Up to Green Bay, and they were very cordial. Oh, hey, guys, welcome here. Here's your Trump water.
Can you guy recognized in? Me on site. Mr. Kroot, you're at the wrong place. Let me walk you to the VIP entrance. They're less cordial these days.
Why do you think that is?
Your behavior, I suspect.
Yes, well, I'll be responsible for my behavior if they're responsible for theirs.
Well, we'll see what the jury has to say. The Trump trial winding down, Dom. I'm going to miss that trial. I look forward to the actual J6 stuff. Be it the Fulton County. You know, technically, Funny Willis is on the ballot today. She's being primaried in Fulton County. If she lost the primary, she would have to turn over the investigation of Donald Trump and the indictments of Donald Trump to what, the new prosecutor at the DA's office. So anyways, she seemed quite confident. I saw her on one of the CNN, I guess, I was watching earlier today, seemed quite confident.
Yeah, I think she's got some pretty good name recognition around town.
Someone said she could probably be DA of Fulton County till she's 100. Dom, like
well, the other cases, though. Well, the other cases, though. I want to be, and we have some callers.
Well, the January 6th is important to me. Yeah. And whether it's the direct pressure on the Georgia elections officials, because we've got the Perry Mason-style smoking gun tape. The call, I just need 11,780 votes, one more than I got. We've heard the tape. We know that that evidence exists outside of him and Rudy and half a dozen other lawyers calling into Georgia election officials trying to change the vote outputs. That's seemingly an important thing to me, but also, obviously, the January 6th, Jack Smith, the special counsel charges in D.C., the ones regarding the January 6th, 2021 coup, let's call it, Dom. That, to me, is the pretty important stuff. Now, new story out today about the classified documents case, and obviously the partisan hack Trump appointee Eileen Cannon's never going to let that trial happen. She'll have to be taken from that case by the 11th Circuit. She is not going to let that thing go to trial. But my understanding is, in a newly released filing today, Dom, he had more classified documents after the FBI raided them. Trump still had more they didn't even find.
More docs in his bedroom and his closet. Problematic? Seemingly.
No.
People should know the facts about these cases before they vote. But like, okay, but I know what you're saying. You know, we're this case isn't over yet, man. This hush money case, you know, this election fraud case that drowns Trump. They'll have, closing arguments next week. The jury instructions, right? This is all going to happen. And then they'll go into
deliberation next week. A lot of downtime.
We could have a verdict by Friday, man. You don't know. We don't know. We could have a verdict next week, dude. How long do you think they're going to deliberate? Let's talk about that for a minute. Let's make some guesses. Because I think guilty, 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 Curdy.
I think it's going to be a long deliberation because I fear a hung jury. I fear that one or more holdouts is all it will take and that it won't be an exoneration, but Trump will claim it as such. A vindication, because if they cannot bring the convictions, Trump's calling it a victory. And I know he's going to call it a victory no matter what, right? I heard your loud shouting yesterday when you yelled it at me. I get your point.
All right.
But I think it does matter ultimately in the outcome. I mean, more pulling out today at the Hill that showed it does matter. A conviction is a much worse thing for Donald Trump than a non-conviction. Vindication is disastrous for Joe Biden and the Democratic Party. Vindication that would come from a hung jury. I hate to say it. I don't want to break your heart or harsh your buzz, but I think it will be disastrous. Now, a conviction could put the death knell on Donald Trump's candidacy. I saw Lisa Murkowski, the senator, I guess technically she's now an independent, but Republican from Alaska. Murkowski said, how do we get to the point where we're contemplating could a convicted felon represent us? I think she's lost her appetite for Trump. But she also said, I don't know if you can trust the polling at this stage, the polling that would demonstrate whether or not Trump would be hurt by an actual conviction. But depending on whose poll you believe, 6 to 9% of voters will fall away from Trump if he's convicted. And I think perhaps more importantly, I've seen lots of polling that suggests all the red tied wearing, brown shirt underneath, blue suited sycophants that show up at the Trump trial. Guess what? The American people are going to paint them with the same conviction brush. That is not an association I'd be making with the guy his last week in court. But, you know, I do hang out with you each and every day.
That's what I'm saying, man. If you don't belong to a cult, Crudy, so you don't know.
Can't afford the dues at the cult. I joined, but I'm too poor. Come back, more devils.
Matt Flynn.
Matt Flynn's next, our buddy.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. It's getting better up in here. We got a friend joining us. He is a lawyer. He is a author, novelist, friend of the Devil's Advocates. He's Matt Flynn, very direct. Welcome back, Matt. How you doing, man?
Hey, Matt. Good to be back with you, Crudy. I'll tell you what, been a while, but it's good to be back on your show.
Say hi to Dom as well. He'll get all butthurt feeling left out.
Dom, hey, what's going on, Matt?
I thought you were in Ireland and they were hunting.
I was. Yeah, got back. Yeah, it was beautiful, Matt. I know back, you know. Friend. Thank you. Good to be back.
You got that good Irish hair, Matt Flynn. I envy your hair.
Well, that's because the Monahan side of my family, my mother's side, they had hair like a horse's tail. Believe me, it was very thick. So I was very lucky I got to inherit it. Very lucky.
Matt, you must be enjoying the Trump trial like the rest of us. What have been your impressions up until now?
I think it's gone very well for the prosecutors. And let me just say a quick few things. First of all, the idea of Donald Trump ever testifying was absurd, but there's method in their madness. And here's what's happened. Donald Trump is an inveterate liar and a thief. And everybody knows what he did with Stormy Daniels, falsifying the records and all of that, working with this pecker of National Enquirer for the catch and kill and all that. Now, having said that, he shut his mouth off for weeks. Oh, I want to testify. We bad. You know, he wasn't going to testify because he would have lied and it would have been apparent. And so he didn't testify. And in that respect, he reminds me of Rick Scott of Florida, who was summoned by a grand jury on a securities on a healthcare fraud thing and took the Fifth. And they said, oh, I wanted to testify. My lawyers wouldn't let me. So just be aware, he didn't testify because he's guilty as hell. That's why he didn't testify.
Well, that's what Trump has always said about people who took the Fifth, Matt, because they're guilty. Right. That's what he always said. And he knows that. That's why he didn't do it.
You hit the nail on the head, Dom. You hit the nail on the head.
Matt Flynn, as an attorney, there have to be a couple of questions. The people that weren't there to give testimony. Weisselman, I believe, the CFO. Weisselberg, the CFO of the Trump Organization. Keith Schiller, the body guy to Trump. They could have corroborated a couple of these different stories. They were mentioned often during, especially Michael Cohen's testimony. Matt, it's the prosecution's job to bring all the witnesses. We know one of them sitting in Rikers Island. But why is it all come down to Michael Cohen?
Well, first of all, it didn't really come down just to Michael Cohen. Pecker gave very, very good testimony, and Cohen gave very good testimony. Secondly, Weisselberg is in Rikers Island, and he is sneaky and mendacious as hell. And you take a chance with a guy like that when he comes in, if he starts to weasel around, just like Schiller. And there's a this judge would have let this in, but there's a theory in law that you don't just blithely subpoena cumulative witnesses. When you say they would have buttressed Michael Cohen, I felt, was a darn good witness. He was on there for hours. He was subject to cross-examination, and he said the absolute truth. I paid her off at his request, and he signed the checks, and Trump doesn't testify. You'd have to be deaf, dumb, and blind and dumb to say, well, I don't know. I think there's doubt here. So I think the prosecutor did a great job, all the prosecutors, and I do not think they had to call cumulative witnesses, especially because Weisselberg is a shifty thief himself, and all he had to do to blow it up was something equivocal that could have raised a reasonable doubt. I think they were right with going with just Cohen.
Matt Flynn, he's an attorney at law. He's a friend of ours. Matt, here's my question, though. You got to prove the crime. Because simply cooking the books, not telling what you truly did with the money, well, that's the misdemeanor. That's the 34 underlying counts. But there's the uncharged, the breaking the federal campaign finance laws, that starts convoluting this sort of combination that bumps this thing up to felonies. And Matt, even the uncharged crime is a misdemeanor. Do you worry at all? The charging instructions, all this procedurally is going to be very difficult for the jurors to really clearly understand. And I think there could be a reasonable doubt, Matt Flynn.
You know, I don't agree with that, Crudy, and I'm going to tell you why. I've tried cases for 40 years, including criminal cases to verdict. You have what are called charging conferences where the lawyers get together and they talk about jury instructions. This is not a difficult case. It is a misdemeanor in the state of New York to falsify the records for an expenditure. That's just the law. There's no question that he did it here. There were days and days of testimony. Here it is, and it was falsified. He's desperately trying to avoid a felony because while you can go to jail for a misdemeanor, it's usually 30 or 60 days. Felony could be a couple of years. What's the felony? And by the way, it's not an uncharged felony. They've charged him with a felony. They've charged him with a felony that he falsified these books to conceal the affair to benefit his campaign, which was a false entry on his contributions to the campaign. That's just the law. So what they've got to go, and this guy thinks he's little Bo Peep. He comes in, oh, except he didn't testify, for God's sake. But his lawyers will go, oh, he just did it to spare Melania. Give me a break. What, you think I fell off the turnip truck on the way into town? What, to spare Melania? Are you kidding me? All of the conversations were, kick it beyond the election. Women will kill me over this. He doesn't give a damn about Melania. And I think that whole jury realized it. So it was charged. It is a felony. I don't think there's any doubt at all that he cooked the books and that he did it because he wanted to benefit his campaign.
Matt, I think the testimony of Hope Hicks and some of the other folks around the orbit that have, you know, basically good reputations also helped the prosecution. But what was right. your take on the news that Cohen, you know, took $60,000 from Trump during the actual transactions to reimburse him for and compensate him for and give him more to address the, you know, the tax implications? He padded the bill there a little bit. Matt, do you think that will impact the jury's thought on what it is and who Michael Cohen is and whether or not they should trust him?
No, listen, you have two thieves. There's no honor between thieves. He's a minor thief. Trump's a major thief. So they cheated each other. But what happens is nothing changes. He did cook the books. Trump did it. And Cohen did it at the direction of Trump. And by the way, he picked Trump's pocket for 30 large. Okay, so what's your point? What, we're supposed to be shocked at this? That doesn't change the fact that Trump cooked the books and Trump did it to benefit his campaign. And the fact that a petty thief picked his pocket, what do I care? They want to charge him with a crime, fine, except that the statute of limitations has run on that against Cohen.
Matt Flynn, the question, though, if indeed Cohen has thieved $30,000, it's been doubled up to $60,000, he effectively thieved one out of every $7, which is the baseline transaction. The $420,000 is the payoff to Stormy Daniels. And the accusation is Trump must know that this was to, you know, basically cover up a payoff. Well, Trump certainly didn't sign off on Michael Cohen robbing him $60,000. And although there was lots of evidence presented from novels and books written by Trump ghostwriters saying he's attention to detail, well, he didn't have enough attention to detail. He got robbed 60 grand on the transaction. Is it possible that that could plant a seed of doubt that Trump really didn't have control of this transaction?
No, look, let me tell you something. Defense lawyers, when they have all the evidence against them, will say, look at the shiny object over here. Look, 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 look. Look at the shiny object over here. Everything that you just said was consistent, and in fact, only consistent with Trump's A, directing the books to be falsified to say that it was not this kind of a payment, B, to do it to benefit the campaign, and he was even willing, it was 130 grand for Stormy, to pay him for the income tax that he'd have to pay on it, which, quite frankly, should have yielded even more money to pay the income tax on that. And in the process, he grabbed 30 grand more. So what? What does that have at all to do with the premise, the unrebutted premise, that Trump directed the books to be cooked to benefit his campaign? That is a felony in New York and a lot of states. And the fact that a guy hit him up for 30 on the side, what relevance is that? That is a defense lawyer trying to dangle a shiny object among the dullest jurors. That's all it is.
Well, what it says, Matt, is that, you know, perhaps Donald Trump didn't have as much clarity on this transaction as he thought he did. But that aside, let's talk about what happens next week. Closing arguments set for next Tuesday, the day after Memorial Day. The judge will then charge the jury. What's your expectation, Matt? You've been around the block, man. How many days before they roll back with a conviction?
Well, I think it's going to be fairly quick. But first of all, guys, it is very rare to go a week from the last testimony to the closing arguments. That's not a good idea at all. They're doing it in this case, what, because of Memorial Day weekend? So what? Today is Tuesday. They should have had the charging conference at night in the last couple of days, or do it tomorrow and then do closing on Thursday and then let them go away for the week, but at least have all the evidence. The reason I don't like this, and I've never seen it go a week, I've seen it go one day, maybe 2 days, that's it, is that everybody sits around, and from a prosecutor point of view, they want, with the evidence fresh in the mind, to go right to verdict. The defense would like them to sort of dwell on it over a week period, so there's nothing you can do. The judge said he's gonna give them a week. So what? When they do closing arguments on Tuesday, it'll go to the jury that day, that evening, that late afternoon. They'll elect the foreman, then they'll probably adjourn, and they'll come back in on Wednesday. I don't think this is that complicated a case. You should have a verdict Wednesday or Thursday.
Matt Flynn, perhaps you're more optimistic than I. Assuming it's a conviction, I got a texter asking, what's the sentence look like? And realistically, Matt, what sort of sentence is leveled by Judge Bershon, do you think?
Well, first of all, the irony is they'll say it's a first offense. This guy's a walking crime scene. He's been committing crimes his entire life, ever since he went away to reform school. I mean, I'm not kidding. And that's number one. Number two, there has to be a pre-sentence report to see if he's a good boy. Well, he's not a good boy. That'll take 30 days. The sentencing wouldn't be until July or at the end of June. What kind of sentence? For a first offense, they'll claim that they want probation. I'm going to give you a little bit of insight that I don't want to shock you. I know you are both virginal in your lack of skepticism about politics. But if I'm a judge, and this doofus threatened my daughter and threatened me, he's going to the slammer, okay? I don't give a damn how he puts it. And so the point is, I'd give him a couple of years. Now, in the meantime, they will then want to appeal, and they'll want to stay the sentence pending appeal. Guys, the Republican National Convention is in July, for God's sake. You see what I'm getting at here? This is a very unusual case. So this guy will be going to the Republican National Convention under the hypothesis you've just set out that he's going to be sentenced to prison. And, you know, something, this Republican Party is so venal and so treacherous. I'm talking about the leadership. So treacherous, so in the pocket of Russia and Saudi Arabia, they like to nominate a criminal. That's how bad American democracy is degenerated.
Matt Flynn, will he be wearing an ankle monitor when he comes to Milwaukee for the RNC?
Listen, if I were Marchand, he threatened my daughter, I'd say, I'm not staying the sentence pending appeal. You're going to the slammer right now. That's what I'd say. Now, he'd immediately howl to the Court of Appeals. They'd say, okay, yeah, stay it because he's a first offender, even though he's a serial thief and a, you know, a Russian agent. But, no, listen, I think this Alvin Bragg's the only guy that's able to bring this thing to any kind of resolution. Poor Fannie Willis.
Sorry, Matt, we just brought this conversation to a resolution. We're out of time.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
Thank you for listening to the Devil Advocates Radio Show. Happy, happy days to us all. You can join us on the lines, 844-967-2789.
And we couldn't let Matt escape with that improper goodbye, so we've asked him to stick around. He's generously agreed. Our friend, attorney, novelist, Matt Flynn, thanks for sticking, buddy.
Yeah, well, it's good to be back with you guys. Good to be back with you guys.
Matt Flynn, did you see that they found more classified documents at Mar-a-Lago, at least according to a Jack Smith filing? Will we ever see that trial? How does that work? Can the 11th Circuit just take this Eileen Cannon and take the trial away from her at some point, Matt?
They can. Let me tell you a couple of quick things. Jack Smith made a terrible mistake venuing this down with her. He could have done it in D.C. He tried to be a good boy, and this is what he gets, number one. Number two, let me tell you the real problem with her. The real problem with her is even if she takes it to trial, at halfway through the trial, she could stop and say, I've listened to the evidence, it's not good enough, and I acquit him. If she does that, Jack Smith can't appeal. She's going to do that. The third thing you've got to understand is that when those documents were left scattered around, the CIA lost an unusual number of agents to capture, mm-hmm. torture, and execution in China and Russia. Okay? And the fourth thing is the 11th Circuit has a lot of Trump judges on there. And yes, they could remove her, but Jack Smith has to make the motion to remove her, and he hasn't done it yet. So starting with Merrick Garland, who's weak as hell, Jack Smith, who's not weak, but he decided to be a good boy. He's such a good boy. So, he, of course, this woman isn't going to do it. She is a Colombian she-wolf. She should never have been made a federal judge, and she will acquit him. This is a very dangerous circumstance.
Matt, Rudy Giuliani got served over the weekend at his 80th birthday party. Seems a little less than fair, but when you're taunting the Attorney General of Arizona, you know, got to be happy with the outcome ultimately. All's well that ends well.
Right. But, you know, think about something, guys. Nobody talks about this. This guy ran for president at one time and for about 30 days was ahead in the polls. And now he's sort of Trump's slave. You know what I mean? He's ruined his entire life and Trump is going free running for president. What induced him to go from mayor of New York and the U.S. attorney for the Southern District, top of the game, running for president, and to this? I still cannot understand that. He should be indicted in Florida or in Arizona, which he has, and he should go to prison. But why? Why the heck did he do this? I do not understand it.
I don't understand it either.
it's a cult, man. That's so, why.
booze and ambition. That would be
this guy Trump's a walking crime scene. There's like 50 guys. They get indicted. They go bankrupt. They're in prison. And he has Stormy Daniels and does whatever the hell he wants. I mean, what's going on here? Does anybody with common sense look at this and say, this guy is a walking crime scene?
Man, yeah, Flynn. That Donald Trump leaves is something to behold, and it's very consistent. So anyone getting into his orbit, Matt, would certainly be aware of those kinds of risks. I want to briefly ask you, Matt, the U.S. Supreme Court, Justice Alito, flying the flag upside down, number one. Number two, when do you think we're going to hear about Trump's absolute presidential immunity case?
Yeah, that's been cooked up in the parking lot. His wife didn't do it. He did it. He lied about it. He's also the justice, by the way, who leaked the Dobbs draft to lock Kavanaugh in, and he didn't answer any questions under oath. The guy is crooked. Clarence Thomas is crooked, and one of the problems is that Supreme Court has become an unelected legislature for life, which is not what the Constitution provided, and the Republicans won't impeach and convict them. We have now an unelected legislature, a crooked one, for life, and that's very, very damaging. This guy lied. You can look in his sneaky eyes. He lies, and he lied about not leaking the Dobbs decision.
Matt Flynn, what happens, and I realize you're optimistic about a conviction in the Trump hush money, the voter deception trial, but what happens if it's a hung jury? Somebody holds out, and they can't bring a conviction. You know Trump's going to claim it's a complete vindication, exoneration, Matt. But
yeah, no, look,
from the perspective of the swing voter, from those that really don't pay attention to every nuance of the testimony daily, Matt, it could very well play that way, and it would help him be dismissive of the other three sets of indictments.
Yeah, with all respect, my friend, I have the contrary view. If there's one or two sleeper cells that deliberately lied to get on the jury and they're going to acquit him no matter what, I can't help that. Alvin Bragg will retry it. Obviously, it'll have to be after the election. But hey, say you're a guy who's an independent leaning towards Trump. Do you like what you heard in this thing? Do you think, because there's one or two sleeper cells that lay in the weeds and acquitted him in New York, so everything else is copacetic? No, I don't think that at all. This guy is a walking crime scene. He's a traitor to the United States. He's a Russian agent. He's very dangerous, and we've got to concentrate on that.
But will he be our 47th president, Matt Flynn?
Right.
No, he won't.
Should Biden debate him? Matt, we're out of time, but should Biden debate Trump? One minute left.
I would debate him and kick his butt all around the debate room. Biden was smart to say no gallery, because he'll bring in thugs to try to disrupt it. And then Biden should go after him. Biden's tougher than he is. He's a better athlete in high school than he was, tougher than he is, more experienced. He'll take him. He'll take him good.
He doesn't have the good hair that you've got, though, Matt Flynn.
Matt, could there be a drug test prior to the debate?
Eat your heart out.
Drug test for the devil's advocates, perhaps, but not for the participants. Matt Flynn, thank you so much for sticking around with a little bonus time for our audience. I'm sure they appreciate it as well. Returning towards a happy hour with less Matt, but you will be remembered fondly, Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
Good luck, my friends. Okay, guys.